Do we know how to?
Okay. So today is March 6th, and we are in studying in the Sealed Book of Mormon. You can use the PDF form, the yellow book or the black book. We're in chapter 12, and we're going to finish the last several verses of chapter 12. We finished with verse 30 last week, and we'll start with 31. And these are verses from Isaiah. I don't know a lot about Isaiah. Dewey has taught us a lot, and that's been wonderful. So what I did as a preparation for this, I realized that Isaiah wrote this, and it was incorporated into the Old Testament. And it's been a book that many people have read and felt they did not understand. But I think that has great inference that it was incorporated into the Bible and not decided to be a book that was left out, even though people aren't really sure they understand it. So our fathers in the past saw fit to make sure this was added. And then in the Book of Mormon, when Joseph was translating this with the power of God, the Urim and Thummim, that he felt as he was reading these gold plates to include Isaiah often in the Book of Mormon. And so I'm not sure that I have found all of the references, but in 2 Nephi, Isaiah is referred to. So in 2 Nephi chapters 7 all the way through 27, there are references to Isaiah. And the references are in chapter 7, the references are 50. And in chapter 8, the references are in chapter 51 in Isaiah. And then it reverts back to Isaiah's chapters 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And then chapter 29. And then there's a verse in, a chapter in 3 Nephi. There's a reference to chapters 22 and 54. In Isaiah was written, and many people feel it was written in two parts. It was written like chapter 1 through 39 was one section, and then chapter 40 through 66 was another section. So in 2 Nephi, most of the chapters that are referred to in Isaiah are in the first part. They're the beginning of Isaiah, with a few that dips over into the second section. And from my short little reading in Isaiah, I've realized that the two parts of Isaiah seem to happen when there is when the Jewish people are taken to Babylon. But Isaiah is certainly a book of judgment and hope. And so that's pretty interesting. So Joseph did the part that was in the beginning section. And then here, as we're going to start through these verses of Isaiah, start with chapters, they have 56 and 58. So that's the second part. So I'm kind of thinking the Lord really in verse 29, when he said, command you that you should search these things diligently according to the words of Isaiah. How much Isaiah has been in every part of the Bible, the Old Testament, the Book of Mormon and now in the sealed book. So I am beginning to realize how important Isaiah is in the Lord's plan. And so as we go through these, I just wanted you to think about that. Also, I think with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to learn a lot about Isaiah in the future. Seems that it's a book that we need to pay attention to. Also, the more we ask, the more we will be given. So with that, I would like to just start with...
Jeannie?
Yes.
If I may. Before we start, I thought I read this little one-liner when I was looking up. This is from the book of Isaiah, the Gelati book. A little one-liner that I thought, to me, spoke of big picture. You know, what happened with Israel, according to Isaiah. It also includes restoration and salvation. But how it applies to us, I thought would be a worthwhile thing to put in.
Okay.
It makes a note here. It says, there exists a broad governing pattern to Israel's history. The themes of trouble at home, exile abroad, and happy homecoming reflect a divine plan for the Lord's people and for the world. It foresees the end from the beginning. And then, of course, there's some other things I ran into back here, but isn't that what we're being called to do too?
Yes.
A happy homecoming. I like that.
Yes. Yes.
And so, yes, that I think takes into everything that it's a book of judgment, but a book of hope. There's the happy homecoming. That's what we keep our eyes look forward to. So I think, thank you, Steve. That's wonderful. And truly does put in a very one sentence what Isaiah is telling us. And he spoke from such a long time ago, and yet here today, we're reading his words, and they have great importance. I want to start with reading Isaiah 66, verse 23, which comes from verse 29 in the Acts of the Three Nephites, chapter 12. And it reads, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." I think that that's very, very much what we are trying to do in these latter days as Mauricio is leading us. So can we start with verse 31? Valera, we're happy to have you guys. Would you be able to read verse 31?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. "And whosoever shall hearken unto these words of mine and repent and be baptized shall be saved. Therefore, examine what the prophets concerning the Sabbath have said. For many bear witness to these things, as Isaiah testified when he spoke of the full restoration of the observance in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when saying, thus saith Jehovah, take heed to judgment and do that which is just. For behold, my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this and the son of man that shall keep to this commandment, to keep the Sabbath and not to profane it."
Right. Any comments?
Well, I'll just maybe share one thought. I had an uncle who wasn't allowed to ride a bicycle to train on Sunday through my grandfather. I'm studying this for a while now, and I'm really starting to like my grandfather, his conviction, you know, and I also love my uncle who became became an alcoholic farmer. But it's romance, and I start to understand that it's about all this, about studying peace. You know, we have a lot of war going on. There's a lot of empathy here in Europe and with helping. But if we really want to stop these violence guys, we have to study. And now I understand more and more the Sabbath is a school to learn to know the peace of the home. Like Jacob was at home in the tents and his brother was always on the prowl. So there was a thought for me to keep the Sabbath and how much everybody will be blessed no matter what denomination and what time. So really let it sink in these days, the Sabbath, how blessed we are.
Yeah, this chapter really has spoken to the Sabbath, how important the Sabbath is. And I find myself paying more attention to that. Just that it's, at least now it's like, oh, wait a minute. You have to remember Sabbath is Saturday to Sunday. And this is something that's not on the agenda. And I find myself taking more time to read scriptures and understand them. And so I think as we are learning and the Lord is, or we have more of the Holy Spirit to set upon our hearts, that we are coming closer to the Lord and understanding the meaning of the Sabbath and the sacrament. To me, one of the things in this verse said that these things will happen, not maybe, they are going to happen. That the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's the full restoration, will be observed. And to me, that's, I can see that happening in my life, and Harm just kind of spoke to that too. So I think that's what's happening. We're coming closer to this understanding. And I love that here we have these scriptures that say this full observance will come to pass. I just love that. Does anybody have Isaiah 56, 1 and 2? Can read that?
I got it.
Okay.
56, 1 and 2, yeah. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Yeah, I find it interesting in these few verses in Isaiah 58 also, just to look at the things that he is pointing out to keep the Sabbath day holy. So here is a clue, not polluting it, the Sabbath, you should not pollute it. And we are not supposed to do any evil. I think also on other days you don't.
Empty words.
Do have to do any evil. Yeah, the empty words, I think it's in 58.
Yeah.
But so there's a blueprint here for keeping the Sabbath day holy. It's in Isaiah. And also, yeah, be guided by the Holy Spirit. You know, I like to prepare dinner so I don't have to cook. I don't have to do the dishes if I don't want to. And it's also a day of rest. So I slept. I had a busy week, so I also took the time to sleep. And yeah. It's been wonderful. Every week is we're fine-tuning the Sabbath, and it feels wonderful, and we feel blessed throughout the week because of it.
Yes.
Thank you. That's my comment.
Thank you. Anyone else?
about to check.
There's also like a little warning in here. It says, take heed to judgment and do that which is just. For behold, my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. So I'm seeing that word too, the Lord's righteousness. I'm kind of thinking, what would that be? Any ideas?
His righteousness, you mean?
Yes. Isn't that the way this kind of sounds to you? We're talking about the Lord's righteousness?
Yes. Yeah, I think that's what's going on now also with the war. I have that feeling, you know, because he also works through enemies. Through his enemies. It's also in Isaiah.
Yes. I believe.
So...
Well, it's both at the same time. That's what I love about this. My salvation, that's the whole going through the cleansing process. And the righteousness, that's the other side. That's the manifestation of it, you know. But we have to, it's inward and outward. These two worlds are getting together in Isaiah, what I think. And we have to, like, for example, the 42... 46, the whole chiastic structure with chaos and righteousness. The righteousness is the Aaronic and the Melchizedek priesthood. The together, you know, you have to have the DNA and the adoption.
Yes.
So we really have to think about what is this tribe thing about Isaiah and everything coming together in a different way, and then we will be prepared and we can grow in belief and faith. And like the first lesson with the School of Prophets, the persistence part of the faith, you know, it's not only trust. And then we can take heed, you really take, you know, we have to explain about the sacrament, you know, about the God makes little things big. So we have to get, let it sink in that we're the only one now doing the sacrament at the right way. Right. You know, so he is blessing us with this scripture to be able to think about all the books Steve is sending to us.
For
JT, you know, and you have to choose, you need the Holy Spirit to choose. And this is Jesus saying, remember the precedents among you, and this is a start, you know, and we have to repent also as a elect poor or a rich or elect in some way to really, you know, control our minds and acknowledge his work, his spirit, and to get with the program and become holy people. Because it's all about the first, the inside. And that's what we can do. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. And his commandments are, keep my commandments is also the acknowledge God in all things and love our neighbor. But if we're not charged with the right tools, we're not... helping. So we have to help ourselves and the other at the same time to study scripture and really get to know the commandments and
the law.
The law of Moses.
That was Lisa talking about in her article.
For the first time, isn't it amazing? For the first time, we have this stuff of that the other ones wouldn't allow. So we must have done something good. That's comforting. It's also a name of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. So we like what Steve said, go easy, you know, but take it in that it's really, this is the time to lay the foundation. And really, sorry, there was my comment.
Anyone else?
I think it's appropriate to mention some more things about what Lisa wrote, what she wrote about in her article. And that's the definition of the word fulfill. I can only remember one of them, but it's to fully reveal. And so when Jesus said when he was baptized, he needs told John the Baptist he needs to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. It meant, in that context, to fully reveal righteousness. And I think this text, this is preparation for us. The Sabbath is a major preparation in our step to achieve this righteousness of Christ. And I think where it says that my righteousness to be revealed, I don't think it would change the meaning if we said to be fully revealed. Is that when we make the spiritual preparation that the Sabbath teaches us to prepare for that greater rest, in other words, our eternal home, we'll be able to understand more of the spiritual nature of things. And can I comment kind of another thing? I looked up just briefly here the word profane, and one of the meanings is to not treat something holy with respect. And I think perhaps I still have some work to do here on the Sabbath, is that this is a sacred day, this is a holy day. And sometimes I catch myself looking at the clock and I think, oh, well, it's Sabbath isn't over until, you know, a half or an hour from now or something. It kind of makes me think, well, I'm like people in the New Testament the New Testament, where Jesus said they couldn't wait till the Sabbath was over so they could get back to the things they really wanted to do. And so I think it's all a learning experience for us. So I hope that we have the right feelings, at least moving in that direction, because when the Sabbath comes, our hearts should be filled with all the goodness of our Lord.
Thank you, Robert. The Sabbath, I just want to point this out. Traditionally, it's been Sunday. Now we're learning that it is noon on Saturday to noon on Sunday. And this might be the hardest stumbling block for people who want to come back and listen to, want to learn about more about the Lord. Because think of all the ball games. I mean, we've worked with all the ball games on Sundays. But now all the kids who have activities on Saturdays, and I will remember President Hinckley said about our place in Utah, because this section of Utah puts so much emphasis on kids high school games and championships and everything, and they do when the kids go out of teams go out of state, they get the fire trucks and the ambulance, and people do stuff to their cars, and you know, write things on them, go team and parade with sirens going down the main street of Duchesne. And can you imagine if we do that for the Lord? It's like people's minds are completely reversed, and trying to come back to the Sabbath, the true meaning, and believing that the Holy Spirit guides us, and understanding that this new book, that it's going to be hard for a lot of people. And we're finding that it's a learning process. So imagine those people, and have a little bit of concern for them, like Valkia and Harm said he felt that even though it was fast and testimony today, that he needed to just let some things be alone and just be a witness. And maybe that's where we should be part of it and do what we can. So another thing about the righteousness of the Lord is he has allowed a lot of things to happen on this world for Satan to be in charge. So I think what he's saying is, okay, we're getting to the point where I'm going to come, and then we're going to see the opposite side of what Satan is offering you. Go ahead, Steve.
I was just sitting here thinking about that. Of course, I'm a fairly Johnny-come-lately kind of guy. I wasn't raised in the church, and I never was reared with the Sabbath being sacred, those kind of things, particularly if there was hay to bale or whatever we had to do. Isn't this just like with some of the other traditions and precepts of men that, you know, started off following what they thought was right, but now through revelation and through a prophet we have otherwise learned that where we should go and how we should follow. It's going to be hard for a lot of people, but I keep going back to the lesson of the spies. Look at the size of those grapes. You know, we can choose how we want to look at these things, and they may seem insurmountable in the mouths of our children who please daddy, please. But if you don't lead by example and you don't stand for example, there'll be no example. And one other thing I heard that I remember getting out of this book was when it was talking about, O ye elect. Elect meant volunteer. And I wanted to bring that up today because to me, we're not entitled to anything or just because we showed up one day, you know. When it speaks in our heart and we follow and we do the things he tells us, and we're willing to step across that line in spite of what other people are doing, we become the elect. So I just wanted to say that because, you know, I'm very aware that I'm nobody and I deserve nothing and I owe everything. And I'm excited to be here because I've been given everything. I'll just follow and show up and listen and honor the commandments. He's promised us these things. Let's go get them. Sorry, I just had to say that. It was eating at me.
No, amen.
Thank you. Amen. Right, right. Let's go on to the next verse. It's pretty short, but we'll read 32 and then have a short comment, and then we'll read Isaiah 56:8. Can Talia read verse 32 for us?
Yes.
Thank you.
These words therefore apply to the Gentiles in the last days, yea, to whom this record is to be revealed in the fulfillment of times, to redeem my people, which is a remnant of Jacob, and is Isaiah foretold when he wrote, thus saith the Lord God, which gathereth the dispersed of Israel, and lo, I will yet gather others unto him.
Thank you, Talia. Good job.
Thank you.
Comment? Well, it tells us right here that these words apply to the Gentiles in the last days. And also, this record that we're reading right now is going to show these words and let them be revealed in these days, the fullness of time. Speaking to the people, and he identifies the people as the remnant of Jacob, as Isaiah foretold. So who could read Isaiah 56:8?
I still have it here. Shall I read it?
Yes, please.
Isaiah 56, verse 8. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him, beside those that are gathered unto him. The outcasts of Israel. That's interesting.
And others, I like the other part also. So it's so inclusive with the whole plan, you know. It's the Israelites and with the tribes and everything. And yet, I will astonish you. I will gather others.
Yes.
You know, it's what Lisa, beautiful the speech where you also said the grafting in the roots of anyone, all adoption. And right. I love that here. Yeah. Thank you.
I might read to what Abraham Gavadi, his translation. It's basically the same. Thus says my Lord Jehovah, who gathers up the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to those already gathered.
Thank you.
So I think he's talking about, so the outcasts are probably the Israelites that were in the 10 tribes, and the others are those that are adopted in. I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking. So we're all going to be gathered.
Yes. I was going to say that about outcasts too. But yes, everyone is going to be given the opportunity to be gathered. The Lord will turn no one away. It is going to be the intent of our hearts and the love that we have for our Savior that is going to be looked at, and everyone will be given a chance. Perfect. Anybody else? Let's go on to 33, verse 33. Darla, could you read verse 33?
Yes. Therefore, I preserve this doctrine and preserve it by my own hand to be restored in the last days for the purpose of fulfilling the words of Isaiah concerning the day on which I, Jesus Christ, will definitely seal the law and the testimony through these ancient records for the restoration of this important commandment among my disciples that I will gather with the house of Jacob.
Okay. Let's go ahead and read Isaiah 8, 16 and 18. Anybody have that? Isaiah 8, 16 through 18. Does anybody Russell, do you have it?
Yeah, I've got this translation of it. For Jehovah has said, bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. I will wait for Jehovah, who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and expect him. As for me and the children of Jehovah, as for me and the children Jehovah has given me, we shall be signs and portents in Israel from Jehovah of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion. I suspect it's a little different.
Okay. Thoughts on this?
Yeah, we have one signs and wonders. I was reading that that's the Gileadia translation. But what does that word mean? Do you know what signs and wonders?
In verse 18?
Yeah.
Could you repeat that, Russell?
It says, as for me and the children Jehovah has given me, we shall be signs and portents in Israel from Jehovah of hosts, who dwells in Mount Zion.
Do you know what portents? Is it kind of door-like ports? Portents?
I'm not real sure.
But we're the sign and the wonder and the portents.
I guess so.
Yeah. What does portents mean? So I don't understand this. Portense is as an adjective, and this particular thing says done in a pompous and overly solemn manner so as to impress.
I see it as a noun, a sign or warning that something, especially something momentous or calamitous, is likely to happen.
All right. So even dictionaries have, okay. Yeah. Cool. So I think it means that, yes, I like Russell's much better, but I also think that it means that the Lord will be doing things that people are going to have to look up, hold their head up and say, what was that? Make us stop and think in our tracks, like get our attention really, really strongly. It also, I also like the fact that this verse says he will, he's going to preserve the doctrine and then seal the law, definitely seal the law and the testimony, using ancient records to be brought forth during this restoration of this important commandment. And I will begin. So he is gathering the house of Jacob. Isaiah 8 is also referred to in 2 Nephi chapter 18. There's references to Isaiah 8. So all that chapter seems to be good. Does anyone know who Jacob is? We've done a lot of referring to Jacob. Who's Jacob?
Israel.
Right. In the next three verses, there is reference to the covenant of Jacob. So think about that as we read these next verses. Calvin, would you be able to read verse 34? I don't know if he's still there.
Can you say that again?
Yes. Could you read verse 34?
I'm sorry. Say it again. You cut out a couple of times.
Okay. In we just finished verse 32. I'm sorry, 33. And we'd like you to read verse 34.
Okay, I will do that. And once again, I will recite to you the words of Isaiah concerning this people who await me in the fullness of times. And they that shall proceed from these shall build the ancient ruins. And thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the beach and restorer of the ways of our inheritance.
Okay. I'm going to read Isaiah 58:12. It says, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. What does the Lord want us to know with this?
I think we need to rebuild the foundations.
Yep.
Yeah, I was thinking about Steve. Do you think that the children of Aranak with is it talking about this trip from the Tower of Babel to Great Britain? Are we allowed to have these thoughts? What do you think?
I think the Lord allows us to think anything we want. We have to choose.
Amen.
Yeah.
I see what you mean. Mauricio told me something one day that kind of bridged some of these questions I had. He just very calmly through Jose said, after I was talking about some of these books to him, the Lord has many pieces of this puzzle. That's it. He went on, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, okay, I get that. And I'll leave it at that. So I don't disparage any of that. When the Spirit guides me and I feel it, I accept it. I don't have to understand it. That's not part of the instructions. But I think there will be a day and time where it's very clear.
Yes, I agree. Thank you.
Yep.
When I think of shall proceed from thee and shall build the ancient ruins and raise up the fountain of many generations. In my mind, the last few weeks, I've been having this thought, and I haven't been able to recall the two words. In the New Testament, it talks about when the Lord comes again, that things will be restored. I don't know if there's two things. I think it's the law and the word, and that the law comes from America, and the word, or the one that I can't remember, I think it's the word, comes from Israel, and that's the scriptures and things that came from there. And our constitution, and that being the law, that is the covenant with the American people. And when we think of the Native Americans, all of that being restored, there are lands, pathways from deep in South America coming up to North America. And even in Bloody Basin here in Arizona, there were different tribes where these ruins were. And like in Mesa Verde and Chaco Canyon, where all of these people gathered together, and proof of people coming up from South America with macaws and cacao pods, chocolate, from that they called food of the gods and whatnot. And that these byways and pathways were traveled for many years, everybody coming together and serving and blessing and honoring their God. And Christ, as we know, came to the Americas and revealed truth to them. And their ways have been destroyed, but that law and their ways of honoring and worshiping God as Christ set forth when they touched him in 3 Nephi and knew of him and changed their ways and would no longer kill in these different things. And what I love about Bloody Basin is in front of their ruins, because so many of these tribes were so carnal, they have little paths in front of the ruins that they believe were racetracks. And when they had disputes in the community, they made them race them out so that there was no fighting. They had to run and race. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that that's a beautiful way to solve problems and deal with things. So when I think of ancient ruins, my mind goes to the Native Americans here on the American continent, just because of where my headspace is. Even though I think of the Great Temple Mount in Israel, and of course that's in ruins as well. So there's many things in many different directions of ancient ruins that can be built and established. When you look at all of the civilizations, they all have temples in homage to God with their ziggurats, or no matter which culture you're going to. So it's just kind of fun thinking of God blessing everyone with their understanding on every continent to what they were asking.
Darla, I think you were quoting Isaiah 2, the end of verse 3, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.
Wonderful.
Exactly. Thank you. That's what I was looking for and hadn't taken the time to find. Thank you for satisfying that.
I think I love the Nemaha records because it does teach us so much about that journey and the travel from South America up to North America. I remember that travel occurred because people were trying to separate themselves from Satan and go to where they could be able to worship the Lord, much like maybe we will be asked to do in future times, to be able to gather and love the Lord. The other thing I wanted to point out, my thought on repair of the breach and restore of the ways of our inheritance. So that's what we're doing right now. We are repairing the breach between Joseph Smith and everything that has occurred, the apostasy and the LDS church and a lot of things. The breach was there, and that's what we're doing now. Mauricio has asked that we repair this, bring this all together, bring the three churches back together like it was when Joseph was receiving the keys to the kingdom of heaven. To me, that's the breach, and the restore of the ways of our inheritance is how we are putting back together the Sabbath, the meaning, the love, the participation, and the sacrament, that we're restoring the correct way of doing the sacrament so that we may be pleasing to the Lord, and that we may also understand the importance of how that Sabbath affects our life, how that sacrament affects our life, how we go from the Sabbath to the Sabbath, the new moon to the new moon, and what do we do with ourselves in that time frame? How do we stay close to the Lord? So I've thought of that. I want to move on to the next verse, 35 and 36. Maybe let's read those together. Who hasn't read? JT, would you like to read those two verses for us? 35 and 36.
If therefore thou turn aside thy foot from profaning the Sabbath and to take care of thine own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delightful and holy day of the Lord, honorable, and honor it not by following your own ways and not intending to do your own will or speaking empty words on this day, then you will delight in the Lord your God. And I myself will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth of your inheritance. And I will uphold thee as the heirs of Jacob, thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has said that ye are a remnant of his seed.
Perfect. And who can read Isaiah 58? 13 and 14.
Shall I?
Yes, go ahead.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it.
Very good.
It's interesting, the emphasis on the, here it says, for speaking, what kind of words? Speaking thine own words. And here is, it says, speaking empty words.
So, same thing, empty and thy own. If you
really?
Yeah, get the Lord out of it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Then it stops with yourself. It's ego. Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Does anybody have a clear understanding of 36?
You mean right in the high places?
Yes.
I know.
I can comment on that, Steve, if you want.
Great. I'd love to hear it.
From our reading, what I've understand, the high places represent places of safety, which is quite appropriate for applicable to our day and time.
Yeah.
But the high places are places of safety. Places of refuge, if you will, where God will protect and care for his people. And the heritage heritage is something that passes on from one generation to another. Well, when it talks about the heritage of Jacob and the heirs of Jacob, remember the promises that made to Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the covenant, the Jacobic covenant, I think is best explained in the Book of Mormon, where it talks about creating Zion. So I believe that's a promise, extension of the promise that Zion will be.
Thanks, Bob. That does clear it up.
Bob, would you also think that the high places are also sacred places, places of edifice, places of sacrifice, places of honor and worship?
I don't know enough about it to say that. It's just in the context of this verse I guess you'd have to go back to the Bible, I suppose, and study that. I'm not sure, but just as a in my general reading, that was the understanding that I gained, is that those represented basically places of safety. It could involve the things you said. I don't know.
When I think of Abraham going up to the mount to offer sacrifice, or the Lord, when he went to his 40 days by himself, went to the high mountain where the three apostles were translated on Mount Tabor, or the Mount of Transfiguration. Joseph Smith going to the sacred grove, you know, just different places that I think high mountain that people go to commune with the Lord, as well as safety. Was just my thought.
Yeah. The Gileadi translation of the Isaiah, I will make you traverse the heights of the earth and nourish you with the heritage of Jacob, your father.
Okay.
Well, yeah, lately I had a bit of a rough time, but now since like 2 weeks I'm very enthusiastic again, you know, and then when you feel also that you're riding, you know, on cloud nine, on a high place,
yeah. 8 miles high.
You know, when you feel the love of God, and when I lay down to sleep, I feel so comforted and safe, and even amidst all the turmoil. So that was also a meaning that I read into that.
Also, Gileadi talks about these different layers of meaning, so that the high place can, like Zion, it can represent different things.
You know, people today are so downtrodden and empty. Their hearts are empty, and they keep searching for something that will bring comfort to them. And so, yeah, Balkia, maybe that is a good reference. You do feel much better in the comfort of the Lord, and these things that worry you can kind of slip off your back. So yes, that is a good point.
And the radiation that it gives, it attracts people. And I notice now people are more open to talking about religion or praying.
Right.
So people are more humbled by the situation that is going on right now here in Europe. And and there's a lot of prayer. People are praying a lot, and I feel that also in the atmosphere. Yeah. But it's right. People are downtrodden. I see it in the faces. And the children, they are tired. They look tired, and everybody's
right.
Yeah, feeling down. And yeah, when you have knowledge of the sealed book, the scriptures, Isaiah, then it's such a discovery. You know, I can't. I can't always be so vibrant and enthusiastic. That's part of it. But people are more interested because of the light that comes from it, which shines through all of us, I think, when we talk to people about this.
There's a lot of sadness. I would thank you, JT, for the article about the sadness, because we also have to understand the other side, you know, and have empathy for the people with the blues feelings and the angry. But if you understand, you can, stay in the peace and not react only to the negative. Yeah. So this,
Steve, all, you have something to say? I'm sorry, I thought, Harm, you were done. Okay. Did you want to say something, Steve?
Yeah, I was just wondering, when we were talking about this, having a little experience with hopelessness, it makes for a poor bedfellow.
Yeah.
And I think unless you experience that, you can't appreciate. It's like the dark and the light. You can't really appreciate light unless you've had dark. And a lot of people, again, through experience, I can share this. When you chase the things to try to make yourself happy, whether it be cars and houses or relationships or jobs or whatever it is, and the threat of all of it being taken away, and that was what you had propped up your happiness on, you have no recourse. You can't control. So I can understand that, but I also understand the great answer in all of that is not about war or whether I can control it or what am I going to do for my family. It's not an outside job. That's an inside job. It's kind of like trying to clean the garbage can. It's best to start on the inside and find your real true strength. And that's with the Lord. And I think that's driving people like it did after 9/11. If you noticed, everybody came together.
Yeah.
The compassion, disaster. And I hope, not to sound rude or sound cool, cold or callous, but I hope this is an opportunity for the Lord to be at work there and that it may have some significance.
I think it certainly is. I think, I definitely think the Lord's hand is in what's happening over there, because this is still part of his plan. And one thing I was thinking, that the joy and the comfort of the Lord in using the Holy Spirit and giving us peace when we search for it, on a human level, precepts of man, our mind works, our brain works off of chemicals, and we need joyful chemicals, endorphins, to keep us alert and happy and comforted. And many people who go through depression don't have that level of chemicals in their brain to be able to even bring themselves out of the depression. And so, and now it's all this kind of medicine and this kind of medicine. And the Lord doesn't tell us, go to your doctor and get that medicine. The Lord says, rely on him. And that's what we need to learn. The other thing I wanted to say just a minute, Valkia, before I go to you, is it's interesting that Isaiah is in all these areas of our scriptures. If we're talking to somebody and they're going to say, oh, you're Mormon, I don't want to talk to you, or blah, 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 there's so much stuff out there that people don't want to hear about, maybe this is where we go to reach them, is some of these chapters in Isaiah. I mean, that's a common ground if they don't believe in any of the Book of Mormon. So maybe that's one of the purposes of having Isaiah so close to us. Go ahead, Valkia.
Yeah, don't forget, we just came out of the COVID situation. A day before we let go of the restrictions, the war started. So there's the war, then we had our freedom back, but now we have the war going on. And like 2 years, so many people are depressed. So it's, and now this is going on. So, but what Steve said, there are miracles happening right now. People are experiencing wonderful things. I know I saw a clip of people in the Berlin train station holding up signs. I have room for one, you know, people coming from Ukraine to Germany, and people are opening their houses and taking care of people. Lots of food trucks are going there, medicine, also from all over Europe. So yeah, that's also miracles happen. And yet, of today in a testimony meeting, a brother of us had his answer come over, and he said, well, once I could ask the question, why is God allowing this, you know? And he asked his hairdresser just to see what she was saying. And she answered, just to get our feedback on the ground. And maybe that's true. We were, we have everything, you know, but like Steve said, what if that's taking away?
The light and the darkness.
Your house is being destroyed. You can only take one suitcase. What do you do?
And that's so beautiful about this whole structure behind which Gileadi learns us about Isaiah. It's light, darkness, a punishment, deliverance, humiliation, exaltation, suffering and salvation, disloyalty, loyalty, disinheritance, inheritance. So ruin and rebirth, these seven-part structure, I think it's so interesting that it's now, the Lord must love us very much, you know, here in the Netherlands, that because when he like what is in Proverbs, if you love your garden, you have to cut, you know, and that's what we have to learn. That it's part of the process, and that's why we can not be disturbed and walk through the fire. Eventually, I hope we're working on that, but. Yeah, it's all part of that plan, and I never realized the humiliation, even for myself as a child, that I couldn't do sports and my brothers could do sports, and I didn't want to be in the home, but now I'm growing home, like Steve said in the beginning, happy homecoming, you know, that's the whole symbolism with the also.
And Jacob liked to be at home, right?
Yeah, Jacob was a mother's child, like me. But it's a dualistic thing, and also with time. I don't have time. Make time, you know.
Right.
And then, for me, very important with Jean-Paul Pratt, the whole calendar thing. The whole dreaming is being pushed down. You know, the sensibility. That's all the history of the Americas.
Sensitivity?
Yeah, with the humans here in the West, you know, it's all, we have the technical things. And so I think it also has to do with really having faith in dreaming. And Joseph was a dreamer, you know. So this is all part of that side of the world. So we have to connect both. I think now, like this, we can do without, we cannot do without technology. Otherwise, we wouldn't have this conversation. Yeah. So these both of these worlds, the sensibility on one side, and also with the big, he makes, I always said little things, he makes little things big, but also big things little. So that's with the stars from above and the scriptures. We're connecting now, so thank you. I feel so inspired with you guys, sorry.
Thank you guys. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let us I'm going to stop. We're at the end of our time. I'm going to just stop the recording, so hold still.